WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Sarajevo has been under siege for close to 2 years. One daily newspaper has continued to publish during the war, keeping the city informed about the latest shellings and deaths within Bosnia, as well as the latest news from the outside world. The newspaper is called Oslo Bojenja. My guest is one of the editors, Zlatko Dizdarević. The building that housed the paper is now a burned-out shell. The offices have moved to the atomic bomb shelter in the basement. About 120 journalists work on the paper now. 5 staff members have been killed, more than 25 wounded. A collection of Dizdarević's columns has just been published in America, called Sarajevo, a War Journal. He's on a brief visit to the States. Last night, he was the special guest at a benefit in Manhattan for Bosnian writers, sponsored by Penn, the International Writers Organization. We'll hear readings from that event later in the show. It's amazing that the staff of the newspaper Oslo Bojenja manages to get out the paper every day.
Oslo Bojenja, it's on the streets this morning, like all its six 600 days during the war. That means we publish Oslo Bojenja every day. It's not easy, but we don't have an alternative. I mean, that's the last daily newspaper in Sarajevo. That newspaper, it's really something more than newspaper for the citizens of Sarajevo. It's one kind of resistance. It's like food. There is many reasons for that. In the first place, we don't have many other sources of information. If you don't have electricity, that means that there is no TV, there is no radio, there is no another normal source of information. And Oslo Bojenja, that means it's the last journal, it's the last source of information.
What does a typical edition of the newspaper look like now? How many pages is it? What's it printed on?
Yeah, we are working in our completely destroyed building. That building, it's exactly 100 meters from the first line of the front. We are looking every day, the snipers around the building, the soldiers of other side. And it's very difficult to go out. And that's the first problem. They bombarding our building, or rest of our building, every day, even today. We are working in one anti-atomic shelter in the building without communications on the first place. That means without electricity, without the phone and fax line. But I mean that's the first problem: communications. We have some two or three radio stations in Sarajevo in our building. We have radio stations in other places in ex-Yugoslavia. I mean, in Zagreb, in Ljubljana, in other places in Bosnia and Herzegovina, and that's the first kind of communications. We have also some satellite receiver for news from Paris, from France. It was the gift of Agence France-Presse, and that's the bridge of informations with the world. And we have also our journalist on the downtown. We have an office on the downtown. One of the biggest problems is the situation with rotopaper. After maybe 2 years of printing all the reserve of paper, it's finished with all reserves, and it's really very, very big problem.
But finding paper is a problem?
It's not a problem to find the paper. We have a paper around the Sarajevo. We have today in different cities of ex-Yugoslavia many tons of the paper, but the problem is transport. The Sarajevo is completely blocked, and nobody wants to give us the permission for transport of the paper. United Nations said that that the paper is some kind of it's the political question, the Oslobođenje and printing one journal in Sarajevo, it's a political question. The other side is not ready to give us permission for that. I mean that this is funny because I mean that informations, generally informations for the citizens of one city on the wall, it's like bread, it's like many other very important things. And we find some solutions sometimes with some humanitarian organizations, sometimes with some friends, by some friends from professional friends, I mean journalists from abroad, they organize something, some small convoys, etc. But generally, it's a problem.
You're a journalist, and in one of your columns you write, God bless information, because you realize how important it is. And yet, I think you've become very cynical about a lot of the foreign journalists coming to Sarajevo. What has been most irritating to you about certain foreign journalists who've come in?
I know something about working abroad. You know, I have been foreign correspondent also in Lebanon, in Beirut during the war, and I know what's meant to be foreign correspondent. I want to tell you just that that during the war in Lebanon, I know that journalists on that time, everybody knows what's happening in Lebanon, why they are on that place. Everybody knows the history of Middle East, of Lebanon. They've been real professional journalists, you know. I'm surprised how many journalists, foreign journalists today in Sarajevo are in Sarajevo. They don't know nothing about Bosnia and Herzegovina. They don't know nothing about our history. They don't know nothing about the real situation of the town. They are sitting on Holiday Inn all days and all nights and preparing the article on the basis of misunderstanding, bad informations, wrong informations, etc., etc. One of the most important things is that story about three sides in the war. I mean, Muslim army, Serbs army, Croatians army, or Muslim government, etc., etc. You know, on the time when Bosnian government had been composed exactly of one-third of Serbian ministers, one-third of Muslim ministers, and one-third of Croatian ministers, many journalists always said Muslim government. There's the same things with Bosnian army. Commanders, the most important commanders even today in Bosnian army, are one Serb officer and one Croatian officer. But even that, everybody said Muslim army. More than 30% of all soldiers in Bosnian army are the Serbs, and most of journalists said Muslim army. And when I asked one of my friend French journalist in Sarajevo, how it's possible to write every day you write only Muslim army, he said, you know, Zlatko, it's very difficult to explain to my readers what's mean the Bosnian army, including the Serbs, Muslims, and Croats, against Serbs army and Croats army. It's easier like that. But you know what's mean that it's easier? It's easier. That's mean that today everybody thinks here in the United States or around the world that's the crazy situation with three sides with the same responsibility. Nobody knows what's happened there. That this is a chaos. Everybody are crazy, and we must finish that story with partition of Bosnia and Herzegovina, because there's the same possibility.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Zlatko Dzidarević, and he's the editor of Oslobođenje, which means liberation, and it's the only surviving newspaper in Sarajevo today. They've continued to publish through the war. And there's actually a new collection in book form of some of the columns that he's written in the past couple of years. It's called Sarajevo, a War Journal. We're going to take a short break and then talk some more. This is Fresh Air. Zlatko Dzidarević is my guest, one of the editors of Oslobođenje, the only newspaper which has continued to publish during the war in Sarajevo. What has this winter been like for you so far?
I think that it's not easy to say, but it should be terrible. I know.
How bad is the winter so far in terms of temperature? Has it already gotten very cold and snowy?
Yes, generally, always in Sarajevo, the winter it's very, very cold. It's mean minus 15, minus 20 degree, and the winter in Sarajevo began 3 or 4 weeks ago, because the beginning of November, it's practically the beginning of the winter in Sarajevo. That should be the winter until the end of March, until the beginning of April.
Do you have any heat?
No, we don't have it. We don't have any heat, but you must know that we don't have a heat in the houses without the windows, without the doors, and
because the buildings are all shells now. They're all bombed out
shells. Yes, the buildings are shells. So
build fires inside the buildings?
No, we have some plastics on the windows. It was a very, very important international operation with the United Nations on the top. And it's a transport of plastics for the windows, you know. It's also for me one kind of cynism, if you want. Generally, like humanitarian aid, you know, with that cans of tuna fish sometime and with... One or 2 kilos of flour for 1 week or 2 weeks. What can I do with 1 kilo of flour without electricity, without fire, without any kind of energy?
You can't make it into anything.
Normally, I can make it into anything. It's not only with the flowers. It's the same things with all other things. But you know, they discussed today. Is it 25 grams of food enough for any person for 1 day, or 35 grams, you know? And the problem, it's not the problem, but when I said that it's some kind of cynism, what I mean, nobody knows that the situation in Sarajevo is not the result of some natural disaster, you know? We have our food 10 kilometers from Sarajevo. We have our electricity 10 kilometer around the Sarajevo, and water and all other things. It's not true that we are like in Somalia and Ethiopia, and that's the problem. The problem is siege of Sarajevo. The problem are 20 or 30 checkpoints around the Sarajevo with 1,000 or 2,000. Soldiers, and the problem is that nobody want to do nothing about that.
I want to get back to the UN, but I want to hear more about what conditions are like this winter. You have no heat. You have very little food.
Yes, I should. I think that should be definitely should be the last winter for many children and many old people in the first place. In the meantime, the sick people don't have any chance for surviving. I think that some chance as a strong people, middle age, and someone who has some money to pay maybe 1,000 Deutschmark or $600 for half cube meters of wood on black market.
You've called Sarajevo a concentration camp. You don't see it as a city anymore. I mean, it's a concentration camp in which you say genocide is being committed.
Yes, it's not a war. In any fair war, if you want, it's possible to set something for any war. You have soldier against soldier. You have gun against gun. You have tank against tanks. But in Sarajevo, it's not a situation like that. You know that, or you don't know that, more than 95% of all victims in Sarajevo, in Bosnia and Herzegovina, are civilians. They destroyed the town by heavy artillery on distance of 5 or 10 kilometers. They killed the children in the schools, in the streets, without any reasons. They destroyed the town, and it's not a war, this is genocide. And if I said that, when I said that this is a concentration camp, that means that it's more than concentration camp. Everybody knows during the Second World War what's mean concentration camp and why that people has been on concentration camps. But in Sarajevo, nobody knows why the situation is like that. And nobody knows when is the last day of your life. I mean, it's really horrible. And
how were you able to leave Sarajevo to come to the United States?
Yes, because I have a international press card, like all other journals in the war. I mean, I have a right to take a plane, United Nations plane. That's just normal things for journalists in Sarajevo.
But you're going to go back?
Yes, I'm going back next week.
In your book, you write, "Personally, I consider it a duty to remain in my city till the end and to go on writing about it as long as I am able." Why do you want to go back? Now that you're out, you could stay out if you wanted to. You could be safe. You could have a life.
For me, the answer is it's very clear. You know, I think that that personal freedom of any persons in the world, that's mean the possibility to make choice. I want to stay in Sarajevo because this is my town. This is my choice. I don't have another place. I don't want to be refugees in the world simply because some idiots from the mountain want to said you must go. Maybe I should go out first day after the end of the war, any kind of end. But that should be my choice. I think that this is the question of personal dignity. I don't want to be nothing abroad simply because something made a pressure to me. I feel very nice like that, and I feel very bad when I'm not in Sarajevo.
Yesterday there were newspaper headlines about plans for a new round of peace talks from the three warring parties in the former Yugoslavia. Do you have any hope for that? Do you think that this war will ever get resolved from peace talks?
No, I don't have any hope, because I think that with the idiots who become the war in ex-Yugoslavia, there is no the chance. It's really funny to thinking that they are ready for any kind of deal. They started the war because they want war. They know very well that they have a chance to be on the power only when they're only in the war. And it's really funny to waiting the peace with the people who started with the war. There is no the chance for ex-Yugoslavia with Milosevic, with Tudjman, with Karadzic, with Boban, etc. But the international community decides to push them on the top of our lives, to give them the political legitimacy, and it's really funny.
What would you like to see the international community do to save Sarajevo?
And today it's too late. Nothing today. Everybody said 1 year ago, what was the possibility? Today it's too late. More than 200,000 people died. Next winter should be more 100,000. And always everybody posed the same question, you know. But it's really crazy. I think it's very clear that the situation in Bosnia-Herzegovina, ex-Yugoslavia, is not the result of some natural hating of different nationality. It's not civil war. It's not a religious war. It's really. I must tell you again. It's really funny for us. There's the clash between forces from the past of totalitarianism, of fascism, and the people who want to go in future.
If it's too late to save Sarajevo, what do you see for the future of the city and for the future of the people in there now?
I don't know. It's really very difficult to say. But
I mean, does it mean you've given up on saving the people who still live there?
I think that if nobody is not ready to save the people, it should be the beginning of one disaster, European disaster, because I told you the situation in Sarajevo today, in Bosnia and Herzegovina today, it's the message for somebody on the other place. That's the message that everybody can do what he wants if he has the arms. That's the message that international law, that human rights, that some international principles, etc., are the joke. That's the message that it's necessary to take arms, and you can do what you want, and that's the problem. It's not the problem on the end, Sarajevo and Bosnia and Herzegovina. The problem is destroying of all international principles. And if you destroyed all international principles, it's not possible to expect that the situation, the end of the situation, should be in Sarajevo. You know what's the biggest multi-ethnical country in the world? That's the United States. Do you know what's mean if you said that multi-ethnical life is not possible, like principle? That cosmopolitanism is not possible, like principle? That living together of different nationalities is not possible? Do you know what's mean that? That's the question for you. It's not a question for Bosnia and Herzegovina.
Well, I wish you very good luck, and I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Zlatko Dzdarović is an editor of the Sarajevo newspaper Oslo Bojenja. He has a new collection of columns called Sarajevo, a War Journal, just published in the U.S. by Fromm International. He returns to Sarajevo next week. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.